This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
Rick Carlisle said Zion is like who? It's a good one. It's a good one. Going to get into that coming up in No Doubt. It's the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join me on the Goodyear Hotline. John Mara's interview in the New York Post. Do you believe Daniel Jones looks like a quarterback who will win the Super Bowl? Yes, he does, said John Mara. I can say that without hesitation. There's reason to think we'll be in the playoffs sooner than later. They can't call us cheap anymore. No Doubt is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. We're going to get to that in a little bit, but let me just say this about Daniel Jones and John Mara. Daniel Jones, maybe he can win a Super Bowl. I don't know. He hasn't done anything to demonstrate that so far. He had a promising rookie campaign. 24 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, right from the preseason. There was a reason they were calling him Danny Dimes. But he regressed. Whether or not he regressed, he didn't do anything in his second year. No offensive line, no Saquon Barkley, etc., etc. He's got everything now. His line should be better. He's got a good defense. He looks like he's got a good coach. He's got weapons everywhere you look on offense. At least three good receivers, a legit number one, a deep threat, a legit slot guy. At least two tight ends, a legit down-the-field talent, and a legit all-around pro tight end. And he has Saquon Barkley coming back. In a weak division, Giants got to make the playoffs. It's not that whether he'll make it sooner than later. The mandate this season is Giants got to make the playoffs. All right, I'm moving off. Yeah, what am I talking? We're not listening to me in New York right now. Had a Bandolin t-shirt. Wore it on the air. Dared him to do something. Within an hour after the show, I'm off the air in New York on the FM signal. I don't know if that's... Well, you can draw your own inference. Let's move on. No Doubt is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. Gonna get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No Doubt.
All right. What do we got, Brendan? Pinch hitting
right,
for Raj.
Let's start with Trevor Lawrence. He's not going to Cleveland, and he's going to watch the NFL draft at home. Trevor made the right decision staying home.
Yeah, what does he need to go for? Like, what's the point? First of all, we're still in a pandemic, although we should be coming out of it soon, it looks like. A lot of good news. Supposed to be a vaccine surplus by May. There's like a Tamiflu-type thing being worked on for COVID. A lot of good news right now, but we're not out of it yet. And so everyone knows he's going first. Why not stay at home and enjoy it at home with the family? I have no problem with Trevor Lawrence doing that. What else we got?
Is that a
no
doubt?
Okay. That's a no doubt.
No problem with isn't really the game here.
No, that's right. It's not a no problem with game. It's called No Doubt. It's very simple, this game. All I have to do is remember two things. Either No Doubt or Nah, Son. And Raj apparently called it this because I always would say on Max and Marcellus back in the day on ESPN LA, either No Doubt or Nah, Son, apparently. And so now that's the name of the show, and yet I can't even remember to do the simplest thing that comes from apparently my natural speech. So the answer there is No Doubt. So go ahead now. What are we on to next?
All right. Indiana hired Knicks assistant Mike Woodson. He's a former player for the Hoosiers, longtime NBA coach, but no college coaching experience. Juwan Howard, probably the exception, not the rule, and Indiana fans should be concerned.
Nah, son. Nah. No, I think that if you have a good coach, you have a good coach. And Juwan Howard has a certain kind of advantage in recruiting, that's for sure, because he's a college legend and all that, but Juwan Howard also is excellent, not only motivating players, but with X's and O's. And Mike Woodson, when he has been given the chance, has succeeded. So, nah, son, I wouldn't worry about what the exception or the rule has been to this point. If you got a good coach, you got a good coach. What's next?
All right, how about Shaka Smart? He made the right move getting out of Texas and heading to Marquette before they could get rid of him.
Yes, no doubt. No doubt. You see, I did it. I almost messed it up, but I did it.
No doubt.
No doubt, right, of course. Why not? You take the Marquette job before you get bounced. They weren't having a lot of tournament success, you know? And Shaka Smart is a good coach, and he still has a bright future. And of course, like, why would you wait until you take a shot? Jump ship now and keep everything moving. What else?
Jaguars coach Urban Meyer, he told Peter King that there's a 0% chance of him returning to college football. Do you believe him?
Nah, son. But beyond that, you know what's so funny? You just saying, Brendan, Jaguars coach Urban Meyer. It's something that I've noticed in my own life. Like, you think that you define yourself a certain way by what you've done for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. The day you switch jobs, that's what you're now known as. And the other stuff's ancient history. Even if it's not ancient, even if it's like proximate, if it's immediate, if it's recent history, it's the no one called. Now Urban Meyer's called the Jaguars coach. And you know what? He'll be called the coach of whatever college team he's coaching if it doesn't work out in the pros. Zero. Why? What he's saying about a 0% chance he goes back to college is that he will succeed in the NFL. And that's the mindset he has because, you know, he's a successful person and he's very competitive and he knows his stuff and he's expecting to succeed. So I don't hold it against him, but and maybe he won't go back to college because he'll have such success in the NFL. After all, he is getting Trevor Lawrence to start his NFL career. But no, of course there's a chance he coaches back in college again, depending on his success. Is that it?
We got one more. Rick Carlisle said this about Zion.
He's an unusual force and obviously a great player. And so, you know, we'll have to figure something a little better out next time. But he's doing this to everybody. It presents huge challenges for the defense and for the officials. You know, he is just creating collisions out there. This is a Shaquille O'Neal type force of nature with a point guard skill set.
What's the question?
Well, do you agree with Coach Carlisle? Is Zion Shaq, but with point guard skills?
No doubt, and I'm going to get to that in a second. But first, let me say, you see how clever Rick Carlisle is being? The headlines are that, but what's the real message he's sending? He's sending messages to the officials. He creates contact, right? He's slipping it in underhand. It creates contact and creates challenges for the officials. So he makes a lot of free throw, you know, makes a lot of trips to the stripe. But Rick Carlisle is just putting it in refs' heads. He's trying to. Hey, you know, maybe he's creating the contact. How do you want to officiate him? You sure you want to always call it on the defensive player? But he's right about this. I would put Zion in a certain category. I'm not saying he's going to be these guys, or obviously he's not as accomplished as them. But with Wilt Chamberlain, Shaquille O'Neal, and LeBron James, in that there have been some physical forces of nature in the NBA based on their size and their dexterity at their size. Wilt, Shaq, LeBron, and Zion. They're physically different from everyone else. And they're very different kinds of players, all four of those guys, right? But I see the comparison not only to Shaq, but into LeBron in another way and into Wilt in another way. He's obviously a lot shorter than Wilt and Shaq, but he weighs almost what Shaq weighed. And his athletic ability is freakish. And on top of that, he has the right attitude. He's a team first guy. And here's the sick thing. He's only 20 years old. Zion's 20, and he's already playing like this. He's a couple years younger than Luka, and he's playing like this. It's a scary proposition. So that's what I have to say about all of that, Brendan. I think that was a successful, no doubt. I said all the no doubts except for the first one. I also gave you a nah, son. I remembered to do that too. I think I deserve some credit. Not easy to do the simplest things for me sometimes.
We'll see if we can improve on Wednesday.
The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. So listen to this. Dan Orlovsky is suggesting something interesting, that the Eagles should make a push for Russell Wilson. Listen to him on Get Up, our ESPN football analyst, Dan Orlovsky.
This is a bad football team, so I like the fact that they're not making panic decisions. But the reality is they now have a young quarterback, Jalen Hurts, and probably four first-round picks over the next two seasons, this year and next year. So if you, they, and we know that they've sniffed around Deshaun Watson. If you have sniffed around Deshaun Watson, you for sure better be sniffing around Russell Wilson. And now this at least gives Philadelphia two options. They can, one, figure out what they have in Jalen Hurts. I've said that for weeks now. Or two, they can go, we've got Jalen Hurts to Seattle. And you could take our four first-round picks over the next 2 years and give us Russell Wilson if he's willing to come to our organization.
I like that idea. If Russell Wilson would expand his list to include the Eagles, the NFL, you can divide them into two different kinds of teams. Teams with quarterbacks like Russell Wilson and everyone else. If you have Aaron Rodgers, if you have Tom Brady, if you have Patrick Mahomes, we'll see what happens with Deshaun Watson's legal issues. Otherwise, if you have Watson, if you have Russell Wilson, you're in one category. Maybe let's see what happens with Trevor Lawrence. Maybe Josh Allen, if it continues like this. Maybe Justin Herbert, if it continues like this. And then there's everyone else. Oh, we like our guy. He's pretty good. Those are different kind of quarterbacks. And if you can get a guy like that, you get him. You move heaven and earth to get him. That said, I don't think that's the Eagles' plan. What the Eagles did here is send a strong signal that they plan to use all their draft capital to build around Jalen Hurts. And Hurts showed just enough as a rookie to make me think that's not a bad idea. Look at the Arizona game in particular. Maybe not such a bad idea. Kyle in New York, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, I think that if the 49ers pick Mac Jones at number three, it's going to turn out to be the worst trade in franchise history. Because we could have got him at 12. We didn't even need to give up all that.
What makes you, yeah, but don't be so sure about that. You don't know you could have gotten him at 12. In fact, if they're trading up to 3 to take Mac Jones, it's because they must have a strong sense that there's a good chance that he won't be there at 12. That's why you move up. Here's the thing. I agree with you in terms of value in the draft. Mac Jones kept being advertised as outside the big, call it 4. There's Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, and Trey Lance, right? And then there was Mac Jones. No, apparently not. It's not how everyone sees it. And the most important thing, and Mike Tannenbaum was talking about this here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, and ESPN Plus last week on Friday when the trades went down. If you identify your guy, that guy, we think he's going to be great. We think we can win a Super Bowl with him. Then you just take him. Don't worry about the value. Like, you ever do this? You ever, like, you play one of these old video games, right? Where you can make trades and sign players. And I don't know if it's Madden or if it's, used to love to do this with MVP Baseball 2005. The last time EA Sports did it. It was an awesome game just to play GM. Then once you have, like, the perfect knowledge of the future, you can go back and, you know, trade for Adrian Gonzalez from some fake made-up player who doesn't even count because the game didn't value him very much, right? It doesn't matter what, about the value of the pick at a certain point. If you know, if you really feel it in your bones, that dude's going to be great. At that point, though, you better be right. You better be right. Daniel Jones was a reach at 6 for the Giants. Gettleman better be right. Mara is saying, oh, he can win Super Bowl. They better be right. I mean, Mara can do what he wants. He owns the team. But Gettleman better be right about Daniel Jones. When you reach, so if the Niners pick Mac Jones, all the Joneses, if the Niners pick Mac Jones at 3, they bet, it's fine. I don't have a problem not getting value. But he has to be a great quarterback. He can't be a good quarterback. He has to be a great quarterback. Chris in Pennsylvania, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
When is Deontay Wilder's next fight? Where does Deontay Wilder go from here?
Well, you know what Eddie Hearn said after talking about Deontay Wilder, the former belt holder and one of the biggest punchers you ever want to see, 6'7" heavyweight with hand speed and punching power, who was undefeated until he ran into Tyson Fury, got a draw I thought he deserved to lose, and then got really lit up in the rematch and knocked out. But Deontay Wilder is live against anyone because he's got a lot of heart and he's got a big right hand. And Eddie Hearn, the promoter, was talking about Dillian White, who just knocked out Povetkin in a rematch in which he was knocked out. And we're talking about heavyweights now. Fighting Deontay Wilder. I love that idea because if Fury fights Joshua for the undisputed heavyweight championship, the winner of Wilder and Dillian White is the obvious mandatory challenger for that guy. And in terms of, yeah, but then who else is left? You have plenty. Usyk, who's a cruiserweight champ, who is the undisputed cruiserweight champ, moved up, and he's a good heavyweight so far. Maybe an excellent heavyweight. We'll see. There are other guys like Joe Joyce, big, strong guy, silver medalist, should have won gold in the Olympics. Like, there are other heavyweight names that will be on the, come up, even if White and Wilder fight and one of them gets bumped off as the top contender because it creates a mandate for one of those guys, either Wilder or White. I think Wilder would be favored in that fight because his power is just something else, but it'd be a good one. Alex in Arizona, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yes, while we're banning owners, can we also ban Robert Sarver, the Phoenix Suns owner?
Until recently. You want to ban him now?
Yes, I want to ban him now. Yeah.
Why?
The stadium, taking the money from the fans, the lack of ability of grabbing big-name free agents, that kind of stuff.
Well, look, Sarver was near the bottom of the list. I don't know if he's below Dolan, but he's near the bottom of the list. Of NBA owners, but it's tough to argue that right now. Chris Paul is on the team. Devin Booker was signed up. DeAndre Ayton, his development is partly, I think, the result of Chris Paul's presence on the team. Bridges and Cam Johnson, and you got a lot of guys who can play ball on that team. And let me tell you something. The Suns are flying under the radar. It's not impossible that they could come out of the West. I wouldn't pick them. But they were 8-0 in the bubble. No one beat them in the bubble. And they've gotten better since then. The Suns are going to be real live in these playoffs. And the time to go at Sarver was, 2 years ago. And I did sometimes. And by the way, if you own a team long enough, there'll be times when they're good. And if you don't deserve the credit for that. It's just, if you're a Suns fan, you really want to rock the ship right now? Will in Hawaii, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Love your show, Max. Aloha to you, brother. I just wanted to tell
aloha.
You, I'm an old Pac-10 guy, and I'm betting you, brother, that Lou Alcindor, Bill Walton, and Marcus Johnson are just in heaven right now.
I agree with you about not just the Pac-12. I mean, Pac-12 now, it still sounds a little weird, but the fact that UCLA is good. Like, college basketball to me is better. The world, all is right in the world when UCLA is good. And I don't have such allegiance that, like, SC being good bothers me. But UCLA in basketball, they're supposed to be good, and I love when they are. So I'm with you. And the whole Pac-12, you're right, obviously got slept on. Look at the Big Ten to the Pac-12. Everyone's been saying it. And is there East Coast bias just based on the fact that these games take place after everyone goes to sleep? Yeah, maybe. Now, how could you rule that out? I'm on the East Coast now. Yeah, it's too late. Like, Arkansas, I couldn't stay up for the late game last night. Watched into the second quarter. I don't even remember what happened in the second half of the second quarter because I fell asleep. It's too late. I got to get up and work in the morning. Coming up, UFC champ Francis Ngannou dropped by First Take earlier today after his win over Stipe Miocic Saturday night. You got to hear what he said about fighting John Jones, and I have something big to say about what's happening in the UFC right now. The football offseason's always wild. With all the trades, free agent signings, and new coaching hires, teams have to be excited for the coming season. If you want to hire people that you're really excited about, team up with ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's matching technology finds people with the right experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. To try ZipRecruiter for free, just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/max. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/max.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
I don't know if I can find a word, a vocabulary to express this.
Wow. Into the fire with Ngannou, you go to sleep. Oh my goodness.
Wow.
That was nasty.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, 888-SAY-ESPN-LA. How you feeling about Andre Drummond? I'll tell you what, man. L.A. basketball right now, and I know Lakers fans, I'm a Lakers fan, and Clippers fans. Well, let me put it this way. I know Lakers fans don't like when the Clippers come up in the world. I know it, and I know Bruins fans don't like when the Trojans come up in the world in basketball, right? You want them to stay in their lane, which is a football lane. But putting all that aside for a second, L.A., oh my God, what's going on with L.A. basketball right now? Two teams in the Elite Eight? Two teams that could meet in the Western Conference Finals? Max Kellerman Show coming to you. Very live, 888-729-3776. UFC from Saturday night in Vegas on ESPN+. Francis Ngannou. This was a sea-changing event in the landscape of worldwide sports culture. I'm going to explain it to you in a second. Francis Ngannou knocked out Stipe Miocic to win the UFC heavyweight title Saturday night at the UFC Apex. The finish came at 52 seconds of the second round. But understand, Ngannou lost to Stipe in their first fight. Because see what, if you're watching ESPN Plus now, I see him sprawling. You see his takedown defense, much better than in the first fight. And once on the ground, much, much improved. He was a big striker, obviously, Ngannou. But Stipe is so well-rounded. Ngannou loses the first fight. And by the way, was awful in his next fight against Derek Lewis. And lost a kind of nothing fight, one of the worst fights ever. Two strikers were expecting big fireworks. And it just looked like his confidence was shot. Then he beat a bunch of guys. Look, Ngannou's beaten Dos Santos and Overeem. And that was before even the loss to Stipe. And Verdum. And he's beaten a lot of guys, right? Was it Verdum? Overeem for sure. Anyway, the point is, he's a top heavyweight, but now is heavyweight champion. Now that he's heavyweight champion, something enormous has changed in sports around the world. See, in boxing, the heavyweight championship of the world was the biggest prize in sports for a long time. Notice how in recent years, the biggest fight was between Mayweather and Pacquiao, right? You know, a guy started at flyweight, a guy started at junior lightweight. And that's partly because the NFL has taken away all the big athletes who are excellent from American heavyweight boxing. So there's less interest in this country. And partly it's because of something else. And that's because everyone knows that the best fighter in the UFC would beat the best fighter in boxing in an actual fight. Because MMA more closely resembles a real fight than boxing. Fewer rules, right? You're allowed to do more stuff, more like a real fight. And because of that, we knew that the heavyweight champion of the world in boxing was no longer the baddest man on the planet. The problem the UFC had was that the baddest man on the planet was also never the heavyweight champ. I mean, pound for pound, Mayweather was the best in boxing, but the heavyweight champ at any point would have kicked his butt, right? What can Mayweather do against a guy twice his size? In the UFC, the best fighters in the world were at light heavy. You know, and when you did have a heavyweight champ who had a little run, he was never this like overwhelming physical force. Like Brock Lesnar looked like he could be that guy for a second, but he couldn't hold on to the title long enough. Wasn't quite good enough. And Ngannou changes that. You know, it's really hard to enact all the things you say you're going to do and all the things you plan to do, but you haven't done before in the heat of battle. Right? Because usually when things get tough, guys go back to what they revert to what they're most comfortable doing. Hard to have the discipline to do the thing you've been training to do, but not natural to you yet in the heat of the moment, in the crucible of actual battle. And Ngannou did that. But in so doing, he became the best heavyweight in the world. But unlike even Stipe Miocic, he's the baddest man on the planet in another kind of way. He's 260 pounds. He's a striker. He's knocking guys out, not just submitting guys, right? And so for the first time, the UFC has a heavyweight champion who looks like he could be there for a while, who produces exciting knockouts, and who you could say is the baddest man on the planet. That makes his next fight, if it's against John Bones Jones, the biggest fight in combat sports. What's bigger? Tyson Fury, Anthony Joshua for the undisputed heavyweight championship of the world? Or John Jones against Ngannou for the heavyweight championship of the world in the UFC? That's a good question, isn't it? It's never been you never had to ask that in the past for the heavyweight title. But there may be a permanent culture change as a result of Ngannou Jones. Here's the next thing. I think John Bones Jones, I don't know how it opened the odds. I think he might be the underdog in that fight just because Ngannou is so much bigger. John Jones was never the underdog in a fight. It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Here was some of Francis Ngannou earlier today on First Take.
How are you able to do it? In the sense that usually a guy will talk a good game in a rematch about coming back and be doing things different, but in the heat of battle, they go back to what they do naturally. How are you able to employ all the things that you'd worked on in the heat of a moment, in the moment, against a guy who'd already beaten you?
Listen, Brian, that's a good point. And I want to point out the fact that the first time that I fought Stipe, I was just 4 years and a half in this sport, like 4 years and a half since the first day that I have been introduced to the sport. So I wasn't at the point that I can call something natural, you know. I was just learning, finding my sport, trying to understand the sport. And I think like with more time, basically with that fight, I learned a lot about that fight. Who helped me to build myself and try to complete my profile as a fighter and to get better and better. You know, and it's kind of like weird, but at this point of my career, I think that is the very first time that I'm really starting to feel like I'm a mixed martial artist. First I was just training to win a fight because, you know, UFC wasn't my, it wasn't like my biggest dream. Then I get the opportunity. I was like, okay, I should take the opportunity. Then I was training to win the fight. But
Champ,
now I'm having...
We don't mean to cut you off, but we're both dying to know your thoughts on a John Jones fight.
Yeah. The John Jones fight is a very interesting fight, and we've been calling that out for quite a while. I'm very interested and ready for that fight. And as I said, I'm ready for that fight. Whenever it is, I'm ready by July or August.
Let me tell you something else real quick, because we got to get to your calls and the Andre Drummond impact in L.A. coming up on the Max Kellerman Show. He explained that very well in Ngannou. He's new in the sport, so nothing's really natural to him yet, even though I say he's a natural striker. So it wasn't like unlearning something. He just keeps adding to it. He faced a man who beat him with the eyes of the world on him in a title fight, and he came back to beat that guy. And it had a psychological effect at first because he looked like hesitant to do anything against Derek Lewis in his very next fight. That is something most guys can't do. Lose for the title, come back and beat the same guy for the title. And Ngannou is very impressive. Coming up, the Nets aren't the only ones bringing in free agents in the NBA. What kind of impact is Andre Drummond going to have on the Lakers? That's next. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Give me a call, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because I know on First Take, I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's last take.
Lakers beating the Magic is not the news. The Lakers signing Andre Drummond is, because there are only so many Orlando Magics in the league right now for the Lakers to get wins against in the absence of LeBron James and Anthony Davis. What are they going to miss another 12, 15 games? What's it going to be? Andre Drummond's, look, is he a great player? No, but he's a good one. He's above average starter at his position. 3.5-star player. Lakers have a 5-star in LeBron, a 5-star in AD. That's MVP caliber. No 4-star caliber players. That's all-star. Schroeder's like a 3-star caliber player. Solid starter. Drummond's an above-average starting center. It's a 3.5-star. They don't have another 3-star player on the team. Frank Vogel, Lakers head coach, on the addition of Andre Drummond.
We're thrilled. We're all thrilled to add Andre Drummond, a player of his caliber, to our team. He's one of the best centers in the league. Someone that every defensive coordinator is going to have to account for and to figure out how to you know, handle him while they're trying to slow down AD and Bron and our guards. And, you know, I think he's going to give us a big lift in the immediate future.
Brian Windhorst disagrees, ESPN NBA Insider on game night.
Yeah, I don't know how much he'll play when they're fully whole in intense moments, because I believe that the Lakers are at their best when Anthony Davis plays center. But he's so fragile with injuries that you don't want to play him a lot there. And so the Lakers haven't invested a lot in their center position over the last couple of years because they know they sort of have that trump card they can go to. So in the interim, Andre Drummond is one of the best rebounders of the last 25 years in the NBA. The guy rebounds at an all-time elite level. And so you will see that definitely make an impact. And he can score. You know, and the Lakers at times, especially without AD and LeBron, I mean, they have difficulty putting the ball in the basket. So short-term, getting a guy with that kind of offensive talent, I mean, it can't help to improve them. I don't think it's a game-changing move in the grand scheme of things, because when, like I said, when they're whole, I don't think he's going to be out there when it matters. And if they're not whole, it's not going to matter.
I disagree with Wendy here. Number one, he can give you 20 and 15 before AD and LeBron get back, because you need a primary scoring option. He'll be the Lakers' primary scoring option, you would think. Number two, the Lakers are at their best when AD's at the five, in a world where their best four is Montrezl Harrell. Montrezl Harrell's a good player. Drummond is better. So I don't know that the Lakers, I mean, ideally you'd play AD at the five and someone else would be at the four, but given the players they have, they may be at their best with AD at the four and Drummond at the five. Number three, missing free throws is not a reason you have to keep a great rebounder who can help you on the defensive end off the floor in crunch time. Ben Wallace, I remember arguing with Mark Cuban on Around the Horn. I was the original host of that show. Mark Cuban was arguing that, because, you know, he had high hopes for his Mavericks, that Ben Wallace will never win a championship because in the end, you foul him, you put him on the line, he'll miss his free throws. Ben Wallace did win a championship. Like, that may be, it, just because you have a flaw doesn't mean it's a fatal flaw for your team. So not only can Drummond hold it down, but as one of the Lakers' three or four best players, he gives them another starting caliber player, and they didn't have another one. They had LeBron and AD and Schroeder and a bunch of nice rotation pieces. Now they have LeBron, AD, Schroeder, and Drummond, all starter or above. Obviously, LeBron and AD way, way above. And they have Montrezl Harrell, who's a solid rotation piece. KCP, same thing. Caruso, good. THT is going to be excellent one day, but right now, he can play. And Kuzma can play off your bench. Chad in Texas, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, I was going to tell you, I'm 100% on your side as opposed to Wendy. I think you play AD at the four, and because he could save some wear and tear on his body, and it's going to cause matchup problems galore in the playoffs. I mean, and so I think when the playoffs start and crunch time, I think you will see Drummond on the floor.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, like, let's see how he fits in with the team. I just, like, people, I think, are overreacting to the fact that his traditional counting numbers, points and rebounds, make him seem better than he is to the uninitiated, who people who understand like advanced analytics or who aren't watching the games. I mean, there was even an article recently, I think it was on ESPN.com. I read a lot of stuff. I forget where it comes from all the time. Saying, hey, do rebounds even matter in this NBA anymore? I would say people are getting too kind of carried away with how overrated he may look in some contexts, and it's forcing them to underrate him. He can play. He as a five, he's better than average overall. As a starter, that's a nice player to pick up post-trade deadline. Greg in Michigan, last call. Go.
Hi, Max. I think LeBron James is a genius the way he's doing this with taking a break, him and AD. They're going to get dropped down for their record, and they're going to play a better team in the first round. They'll be healthy. They'll knock off a good team that's going to be challenging for them later once they're getting tired.
That's an interesting point. I've heard a lot of conjecture that LeBron is just taking a break. Well, if that's true, okay. All I can tell you is that I thought he was fortunate not to have a season ender with that injury. It looked terrible to me. Sinead and Golic Jr. coming up, Max Kellerman Show.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.